1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We're going to start with verse number 1. And the Bible says, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over 1,000, and the captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and the possessions of the king, and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men, unto Jerusalem. And David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, O brethren of my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool for our God, and hath made ready the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build me a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, and the house of my father, and among the sons of my father he likened me to make me king over all Israel. And unto my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, and he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." Now, we know the subject matter here. Now turn over to chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, if you would, please. One more chapter over. And we see that David wants to build a house, but he can't build the temple because he's a man of war. But God has appointed his son, Solomon, to rule in his stead. So here's what David goes on to say. "Furthermore, David the king said unto the congregation," that's verse 1 of chapter 29, "Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the place is not of men, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of the God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things to be made of silver, and the brass for things to be made of brass, and iron for things to be made of iron, and wood for things of wood, oxen and stones to be set, glistening stones in diverse colors, and all manner of precious stone and marble stone in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." So here's David. He wants to do something. He wants to do something for God that he believes God wants him to do. He believes God wants him to build him a tabernacle, a temple, or what we would call today a church. But he can't because he doesn't have the ability, because he was a warrior and shed much blood, killed many people. And God didn't want that. So his son Solomon now is going to take his place and take the things that are provided by David and others and build for him a temple that God has given to him. So we're going to pray, and I want to talk to you on this subject. Open hands opens your life. Open hands opens your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all those that are here. I ask that you help every person in our auditorium today to listen carefully. Help the children to sit and listen and apply the things that they've learned to their life, and help it be simple so that even the children can understand what's being said this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 29, in verse number 18, the Bible says this: "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that hath to keepeth the law, happy is he." In this verse that we read for our text verses this morning, David had a vision for the work of God. He saw something that other people didn't see. He saw a temple one day that would be built out of gold and silver and precious stones. He saw that in his mind's eye what God had called him to do, but now he couldn't fulfill fully what God had called him to do because of the work that God also gave him to do, and that was to deliver the nation of Israel. And so he wanted to build a place of a resting place for the Ark of the Covenant, a place for worship for the people of Israel could come, a place where the offerings could be made. He wanted to build a temple in his final days, but he couldn't. So he knew that God had appointed his son Solomon to be the king, and he provided for the next generation what they needed from the previous generation to build a place, a resting place for God. In 2 Chronicles 28, in verse number 2, it says, we see David's open heart. He says this, "As for me, my heart is in my heart to build a house for rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord." So David already had a willing heart. He had an open heart. But he needed to do something else. He needed to have some open hands. And we see in verse 3 of chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, "Moreover, I have set my affections on the house of my God, and of my own proper good of silver, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." So David took out of his own wealth after he put all this other stuff aside, had it all ready for Solomon his son to take care of and build one day. He took gold and silver and precious stones out of his own pocket and added it to what needed to be done to affect the house of God and its building. When God affects our heart for Him, He affects our hands as well. When God opens our heart to do something, He expects us to open our hands to do the work. In order for God's work to further for His glory, we must each be willing to let God work not only in our hearts, but also to open up our hands. We need to release everything that we have in our hands and reach out for God to fulfill His desire He has for us. Let me put it this way. Each of us have a purpose and a role that God wants us to play. We learn that in Sunday school. Again, I'm amazed on how that our Sunday school lesson gets tied up with the message that God has for us. God has a job and a purpose for each one in the church. Doesn't matter how young we are or how old we are, God has something He wants us to do. We don't always understand what He wants us to do. We don't always know what He wants us to do. David now is older. David had already become king. David had defended the nation of Israel. And as David got older, he said, "I want to do something for God, but I don't know what it is." And God placed upon David's heart a desire to build the tabernacle, a resting place for the Ark of the Covenant. When David went to the Lord and said, "Okay, I'm willing to do that," the Lord said, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. Your part of it, David, is not to build it, because you are a man that shed blood. But I'm going to appoint the next king, who is your son, Solomon, your heir, and your family, who will rule Israel. And I'm going to give him the proper information on how to build it. But here's what I want you to do, David. I want you to prepare everything and get everything ready so that the next generation can take care of everything." So David illustrates to us what is to have an open hand and an open heart. He wasn't going to do what he thought he was going to do. He was going to only do what God told him he could do. And he didn't get mad and storm off as people sometimes do when they can't do what they want to do. What he did is he stood and he said, "I'll prepare for the next generation." Every generation needs to prepare for the generation that's following them. I'll say that one more time. That's an unbelievably important statement. Every generation needs to prepare for the generation that follows them. My parents prepared me to learn to become an adult, to prepare my life, and to prepare things in my life so that when I became an adult, I would be able to prepare the generation that follows. Every generation is built upon the previous generation. When we stop building upon the previous generation, our country and our people will fall. When we become so self-centered and so self-controlling and so self-desiring that we only want what we want and we're not going to build a bridge for the next generation to come across, that's when our country will fall apart. I am concerned as a pastor and as an American that I'm seeing that happen even now in our own country. We call the World War II generation the greatest generation. I don't know if that's true or not true, but that's what we call it. And you know what? The reason why is because they built a bridge for us to be able to continue in our freedom. They stood the test. They stood in battle. They stood in war. Then they came back to our country and they built homes and they built farms and they built ranches and they built a way for us to continue our education so that we could build for the next generation. But unfortunately, I see a generation now that have followed. I'm part of the baby boomer generation, but the generation that seems to have followed has become more self-absorbed, more worried about what they have and what they can have than the next generation to follow them. And unfortunately, I think that's happening more and more and more. So we need to see what God has for us. And we need to open our hearts to the direction that He leads us in. And then open our hands as He opened up David's hands. So what can we learn? What lesson can we learn from this morning? Number one, we can learn this. We need to have a vision. We need to have a vision. David had a vision. He saw something that nobody else saw. He saw the building of a tabernacle. He saw a resting place for the ark of the Lord. He saw a place where the Israelites could come and worship God, where they could have their sacrifices, where they could take care of things. And by the way, that did end up to happen, didn't it? They actually built, Solomon built a big and splendorous tabernacle according to the plans that God gave to Solomon, and God provided men with skills and capabilities to provide that. And it stood for many generations before it was destroyed by Babylon when they came in because Israel had rebelled so much against the Lord. So David had a vision. Proverbs 29:18, first part of the verse said, where there is no vision, the people perish. If David didn't have a vision to do this work, it may have not happened. In fact, we need a vision for the work that God has for us. We need to envision something. I thank God for the men and women of our church here who have continued to have a vision, even though through difficult times, where we can see this building once again filled with people, where people can sit in the pews and the power beyond and the windows being placed and the air conditioning functioning and the place cared for properly for the generation that follows. We may never see what God's going to do by what we have done, but we have provided the pathway for it to get done. Let me illustrate what I mean by that. David never saw the temple. He never saw the plans that God had laid out for the temple. He never saw the men who had the cunning capability to carry out the plans that God had given to Solomon his son. But in his mind eye, he knew what God had in mind. And he opened up his hands, and he opened up his heart, and he opened up his wallet, and he provided what needed to be done. Because he had a vision. If we don't have a vision, we're going to do exactly what the vision says. Nothing. But if we can see things that God has for us to do, then we're going to do the work that God has called us to do. I think about my son in the Philippines. I don't know. I think he is about maybe 8 years old. The first time he came to me and said, "Daddy, God's called me to be a preacher." I said, "Okay, son, that's good, that's sweet. Read your Bible and pray every day, and when you know from the Bible that God's called you to preach, you let me know." And he'll tell you in a testimony, he kept searching his Bible for years. And one day, he decided he was done with searching the Bible. He's just going to bring me a verse and tell me that's what God called him to. And he did. He brought me a verse, and I said, "Oh yeah, tell me how God called you with that verse." And he went, "Oh, I'll have to go back and study that out." And many years later, as a young teenager, he came to me and said, "Dad, God's called me to be a missionary. I can show it to you here in the Scriptures. And I know not only where He's called me, but I know where He's called me to go. He's called me to go to the Philippines and build the work for God." I think he was 14 or 15 years old when he told me that. And I said, wonderful, son. And we came to the altar, we prayed together, and he saw something. Now, these many years later, with a wife and soon to be three children, that's where they're at. They're in the Philippines. He's doing exactly the vision that God had given to him. By the way, that's the vision God gave to him. If God gave that vision to him and he didn't fulfill that vision, guess what? It wouldn't have happened. God doesn't send somebody else to take your place. If we don't do what God's called us to do, it doesn't occur. It doesn't happen. If we don't prepare for the next generation to come behind us, God doesn't send somebody else down to prepare them. They just don't get prepared. If God calls us to do something and we don't do what He's called us to do, then it doesn't happen. Think about Moses for a moment. Moses, when he was 40 years old, knew exactly what God wanted him to do. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He knew that God wanted him to deliver Israel from the hand of the Egyptians under the promised land. Take them out, protect them, care for them. He thought he was going to do it by the power of his own arm to slay people, maybe in a form of war. But then he killed that man and he fled for 40 years. He had no idea how it was going to be done. Nobody else came behind him to do it either. It wasn't until he was 80 years old. I don't know. I have a hard enough time at my age getting around and doing things. I can't imagine going in at the age of 80 and organizing a million people and to have to stand before the king or the Pharaoh and do all the things that Moses had to do, then lead the people. And when they got rebellious and angry, he still did the right thing. And boy, it would be so hard to do all the things that Moses did starting at the age of 80. But God didn't send a replacement. He continued to work on the heart of Moses and preparing him. And at the age of 80, he started to do what God called him to do. If Moses wouldn't have done that, I don't think the Israelites would have been delivered at that time. Why? Because God puts a job on our hearts that we need to do. And we need to effectively carry it out. What is the vision God has given to you? What's the vision God has given you to do with this church? What has God envisioned for you to do in this community, this area, this state, and this nation? God has a job for each of us. And we need to carry it out, even if it's not fully carried out in our generation. Number two, we need to have open hearts to this vision. We need to have an open heart. We need to accept it and do it regardless of what our opinion is about it. Sometimes I don't think we agree. Sometimes I know that I've read the Bible and I've read some things in the Bible and I go, Lord, I don't know that I agree with you. But it doesn't matter if I agree or not. For example, let me use an example here. I'm not sure that if I was God, I would have made salvation like He made it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody can be saved. Doesn't matter what you've done, everyone's a sinner, and He'll save everybody because God doesn't look at one sin worse than another sin. Now, I do. I think if you murder somebody, that's a little bit worse than using the Lord's name in vain. I think if you slap around somebody and hurt them and harm them, and you should be thrown in jail for it, which we do. But I think that's a little worse than telling somebody a little fib. But God doesn't see it that way. I think a murderer should have a harder time getting saved than somebody that's never murdered somebody. But God doesn't see it that way. God says, whosoever. He opens up salvation to everyone no matter what we have done. That's amazing to me. I'm glad He saved me though. Because I'm probably like Paul, one of the wickedest men that ever walked the earth. And God chose to allow me to hear the gospel message. I heard that message. And in choosing me by dying on the cross, being buried and raising from the dead, He paid for every sin I've ever committed or ever will commit. Now that's amazing. I don't understand it, but I don't have to understand it. I know it's true. I don't agree with God when it comes to being saved one time, that's all you need. I think if you sin again, you should get saved again. I think if you sin again, you should get saved again. But God doesn't see it that way. God says once you're saved, you got eternal life, not temporal life. And that we're put in His hand, and His hand is in the hand of God. And no man can pluck them out of the Father's hand. And He says, I and my Father are one in John chapter 10. And you know something? That's true. And I can't even pluck me out of the Father's hand, although there's many times I don't feel worthy of my God or heaven. I may disagree with Him on that. And I think if you lie or cheat or steal, you ought to be kicked out of heaven and then you should get saved again. But God doesn't see it that way. His Word doesn't teach it that way. So I got to follow what His Word is, not what my opinion is. He says, and I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's an amazing thing. I don't understand it. I know I don't deserve it. But that's what He teaches us in His Word. What a great and wonderful God that we really do have. So I need to open my heart to the truth of the Word of God. And I need to open my heart to the things that He'd have me to do. I may not fully understand it. I may not fully agree with it. But that's what God called me to do. I remember when I got called to preach, I told God I wasn't going to do that. I'm not doing that. You can't put me up in front of a crowd. I'm not good at that. I don't know nothing about your word enough. And He said, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. Oh, no. I said, I don't want to do that. But I finally gave in and submitted to what He wanted. And then He provided what I needed. So I opened my heart. Then I opened my hands. When I opened my heart, God said, now I can do with you what I've desired to do with you. We forget sometimes that He's the master and we're the servants. Or that we're the clay and He's the master over the clay. So we need to have open hearts to the vision. Number three, we need to have open hands to the vision. Open hands means an open life. When God called me to preach, I wanted to make money. I thought I could be a millionaire by the time I was 30 years old. Can I be honest with you? I could have been if I wanted to be and I didn't follow what God said to do. But I didn't. I decided to do what God wanted me to do. Never been a millionaire, never had $1 million, won't never have $1 million. Not worried about $1 million. You know what I want to do now? I just want to win everybody to Christ I can. I just want to give the Word of God to everybody that can get it. I want everybody to read their Bible and grow and do the things that God has for them to do. I want God to use me to reach people, to change their lives, to cause them to run closer to God so that God will hear their prayer and answer their prayer and reach the next generation and reach the next person and reach the next neighbor. We got to go to Africa, in a place called Cameroon, Africa. And I was only there for 2 weeks. We saw 1,000 people receive Christ as their Savior that 2 weeks we were there. And I know of 3 men that got called to preach in their country of Africa. From the people that we wouldn't know Christ that got called to preach while we were there, who went on to preach, to go to Bible college and are now trying to reach people in their own Africa, their own country, in their own villages because some knothead of an American preacher went over there to win people to Christ. We make a difference where we go. You make a difference where you go. When we open our hands and we open our heart to the things of God, then God will use us in ways that we never, ever thought of. I remember for a number of years I got emails from this one guy that would tell me all the time about all he was doing and learning in Bible college and how excited he was about those things that God had for him. Then he got started and busy in the work, and I'm not sure if he ever even has the money anymore to even have an internet program out there. But the truth is that once God opens our heart to the vision and we accept that vision, He opens our hands, and then we can do great things with our life for His glory and for His honor. God has a work for us to do. God has a work for you to do. So the questions would be, what's that he's called us to do? What has he called us individually to do? Are we willing to do whatever he's called us to do? I know that we're older, and as we get older, it's harder to surrender. I have to agree with Brother Dale today, as he talked in Sunday school, now that I get older, the favorite thing to do is not much. Amen. But the truth is that there are people that you have an influence over. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, neighbors, friends, people that have watched you all your life. And we have an influence over them, and God wants us to use our influence for His honor and for His glory. So what are you holding today in your hand? Are you holding a goal that God has given you? Are you putting it aside for the next generation? Are you taking care to provide that which God has for you? It's so important that we give God the service He asks us to give, and we allow Him to use us. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says this, and I'm going to close with this verse. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but just one thing I do. Forget those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before. So God is teaching us to let go of what we have, and let's grab for the future and lay something up for the next generation that follows you and me for Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for what we learned today. Holy Spirit, I